Going to heaven tonight. And I'm like Abraham, I'm looking for the city. I'm not building one, I've already got one. And I'm looking, I'm just looking for my ride to come, amen. I'm looking for my change to come. I know my ride's coming to pick me up soon. He said he would. And I believe every word in this old book tonight. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. I guess we got an option, don't we? Let not. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. He said, my Father's house are many mansions, wooden cabins or rocking chairs, but mansions. Boy, I never will forget the day me and Miss Renee moved out of that single wide trailer. We moved in a 3-bedroom brick ranch, and I thought I'd moved in a castle. I remember when we moved in from the storefront and moved in this place. My, we thought we never would fill it up. We thought how beautiful it was. But, you know, we've even got used to this beauty, hadn't we? Let's just be honest. We've got used to that, hadn't we? I remember the first time we came up, and I might as well not even preach nothing. Everybody was just looking around at how pretty the place was. And so I've told a lot of preachers that, you know, if you're taking a people to a new area, just give them 3 or 4 weeks till they get settled in where everybody's going to sit and get used to everything. But I'm going to tell you, I'm glad I'm going to the city tonight where I'll never get over the splendor of it, the beauty of it. I'll never get over the Jesus that fills it there tonight. The Bible said we won't light any candles there, turn on any lights, because the Lamb is the light of it. Lord, what a day that's going to be that I get to see the One that saved me, hung and died for me. I've never been able to preach enough about Calvary. I've never been able to preach a sermon or describe heaven nor hell. But I'm glad tonight that heaven will be a reality. And so I bless His name this evening. You got a Bible, the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. I am grateful for the church family that I have tonight. I feel better that you prayed for me, and I'm grateful for that this evening. Luke 5. We're going to start reading in verse number 1 of Luke 5. The Bible said, and it came to pass. Aren't you glad some things come to pass? That as the people, ain't you glad you've seen some people come to pass? Now don't get mealy mouth on me, amen. That's God. I've seen some people come to my house, Brother Tim. I'm glad when they left. You might say amen right there. Come eat you out of house and home. Amen. Now, when a feller gets up and puts on his pajamas, it's time to go home. Somebody say amen right there. You know, I don't want to be rude, but you can go home. Amen. Well, it came to pass as the people pressed upon him. That's a good place to get to, ain't it? And look what they're wanting out of him. Just to hear a word. And so he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen was gone out of them. He was washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down, taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he has done talking. I wonder, has God done talking with you? He said to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering, though flesh, any other flesh ever speak up on you? Didn't say Peter, did he? But Simon answered. Boy, the flesh has got an answer for it. And you better be careful, honey. When God tells you to do something, the flesh is the first one that'll respond. Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all the night, taking nothing. I don't know about y'all, but I tell folks down in Bowden, nothing from nothing is nothing.
Says, we ain't got nothing. It's awful to have nothing. I can tell you when you ain't got nothing, when you don't listen to what He's got to say. Said, we've toiled all the night, we've taken nothing, and here's the word I want to preach out of tonight. Nevertheless, Thy word I'll let down the net. You may be seated this evening. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love You. We thank You for Jesus. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for a church tonight that we've got. We can fellowship and love one another. Thank You, Lord, You're exalted here. I pray now You'd illuminate the Word of God in our heart. Would You bring the things to my mind I've tried to study and apply myself. I need Your help tonight, Holy Ghost. I pray, oh God, would You help me to exalt Your Son tonight. I pray You'd draw a sinner, save the closest one to hell this evening. We'll be grateful, Lord, for what You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to preach out of this word where He said, nevertheless, at Thy word on this thought tonight, an unquestioned obedience. A unquestioned obedience. Now, the Bible teaches us, I read a text Sunday before last when I preached on Amalek, that obedience is better than sacrifice. I believe with all of my heart tonight that the Bible teaches us of this thing of obedience. It is better than sacrifice. For He said, you won't have to turn, but 1 Samuel 15 and verse 22, Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. Now, sacrifice is external, but obedience is internal. Sacrifice may have an ear for the praise of men. How many times have you ever done something, made a sacrifice, and you like the applause of it? But obedience is for the glory of God. Sacrifice is temporary, but obedience is eternal. And tonight I want to deal with three things in this thing of nevertheless. First of all, I want to talk a few minutes about the attitude of obedience. Number two, the action of obedience. And thirdly, and certainly not leastly, but the advantages of obedience. Now note, if you would, to that text in Luke 5 and 5, nevertheless at Thy word, there's an attitude of obedience. First of all, it's an attitude of the servant. It speaks like this, Master, I do not understand. It's the confidence of a servant born of love to the Master. Yeah, now I read tonight, when a dog is following two men, when they part ways, the one he follows shows his master. Can I say that again tonight? When a dog is following two men and they part ways, the one he goes after is his master. My goodness, this attitude of obedience, we should want to serve Him tonight because we are the servant and He is the master. A lot of times we try to play God out to be the servant and we're the master. But honey, you can't get the cart before the horse. He's God tonight. And my goodness, we are the servant and He's the master. I'm a bought dog tonight. I went out with Brother Jerry Friday morning. It was cold. I didn't take enough clothes. And he said, Pastor, it ain't a bothering me. I said, it's a bothering me because I'm a house dog. Amen. I'm glad I'm a bought dog tonight. And honey, I've never forgot about the one that hung and died for me. That's how come me and a lot of Baptists don't get along. Baptists ain't done a lot for me, but honey, Jesus saved me and washed my sins clean and filled me with the Holy Ghost. And one day He's coming by to get me again. And I bless His good name for the day that He saved a wretch like me. We must always remember we're the servant. He's the master. And I remember There's a story. I wish I knew the man that wrote it. But when the Civil War was over, the slaves were still in the field. There's working and hoeing, and a Union soldier rode up to the field of the blacks in the South and said, put your hoes down, put your sickles down. Said, the war's over, you're free. They said, oh no, we don't want to go no place. We have a good master. Can I tell you tonight, it's easy to serve a good master. God, He loves me and pets on me and takes care of me and sees about me. Boy, when He tells me to go out shunning in the lower field, I say, dear God, what an opportunity that You would send me to the lower field. Lord, what a blessing just to be able to tote water to somebody. Oh, my goodness. He is the master tonight. And we are the servant. It is an attitude of the servant, this thing of obedience. Can I say that the opposition of obedience is disobedient. You got one of two options. When God tells you to do something, you're either going to operate in obedience or disobedient. And so this attitude of obedience, it's an attitude of a servant. Number two, it's an attitude of sheep. In John 10 and 27, watch your Bible there tonight. In John 10 and verse number 27, Jesus is speaking. In verse 25, He answered and He said, you believe not the works that I do in My Father's name, they bear witness of Me, but ye believe not because you're not of My sheep, as I said unto you. I like this now. My sheep hear My voice, and I know them. And here's that word, and they follow Me. It's an attitude of a servant. It's the attitude of a sheep. And then this thing of obedience, we see it's an attitude of a soldier. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I want to remind you tonight, we're in a battle. We're in a battle with the flesh. We're in a battle with the devil, and we're in the battle in the world. Boy, I wish I didn't have this flesh. Lord, what could I do for Jesus if I didn't have this flesh? What could I do for Jesus if I didn't battle the devil? Don't get quiet on me. What could I do for Jesus if I didn't battle the world? My goodness, we are soldiers, and we're soldiers of the cross. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, and he says in verse number 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. I know why God called me out of the corporate world. I was all tangled up in stuff that didn't matter. That he may, watch this, please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. My goodness, I'll be honest with you, some of you, I don't know what side you're on. You got one foot in the world, one foot in the church. And so you're trying to do justice to one, you're robbing the one, robbing the other. I like what the Old Testament writer said, choose you this day whom you will serve. You know, he said, endure hardness as a good soldier. I don't reckon I've ever had a more difficult 3 weeks of ministry. I mean, people getting saved left and right. New faces in the church. Church is filled by the grace of God. But honey, I'm going to tell you, this thing is a battle. It's a battle. Do you just ever get tired of getting tired? But I'm glad I'm on the battlefield tonight. Thank the Lord I ain't sitting up in a corner on a bench and warming the bench. I ain't never like warming. Reason I won't play on you boys' softball team, I know you won't play me. And I ain't going to waste my time. If I can't play, I ain't a sitting on the bench. Amen. I don't like that bench business. But oh, I'm telling you tonight, ain't it a blessing to be one of God's young'uns on the battlefield, holding the bloodstained banner, hollering, charge, charge, charge for the glory. Ain't it a blessing to come out of the foxhole and cry, Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves tonight. Oh, I'm glad I'm a soldier. And I don't want to talk back to the captain. If he tells me to do something, he knows the best for me. Oh my goodness, we see this attitude of obedience. Nevertheless, the attitude of a servant, the attitude of a sheep. Jesus said, I always want to please the Father. That ought to be our heart tonight. I don't know about y'all, but it tears my heart out when I don't please my Father. Matter of fact, I spent probably the biggest part of my younger years trying to hear my daddy tell me he loved me. Don't want to play on your emotions. Don't want to try to sing your violin pity party song tonight. But I'm just telling you, I always tried to please my daddy. Lord have mercy. I just don't think he's never going to calm me down for praising him. While ago when we were singing that blood of Jesus song, some of you wanted to raise your hand, but you're afraid of what somebody would think beside you. Hey, they still Baptists out there on the sign. You can praise God and enjoy yourself. You can enjoy the trip. Don't let the Baptists tie you down just because they're a bunch of deadheads and won't give God the praise. You can raise your hand tonight. I challenge any Baptist in America. I'm as much Baptist as anybody, but the Baptist ain't got your preacher tonight. The blood of Jesus. The attitude of a soldier. Said endure hardness. And don't get yourself caught up in the affairs of this life. Of this life. There's another one coming. Don't get caught up in the affairs of this life that it may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The attitude of obedience, the attitude of a servant, attitude of a sheep, attitude of a soldier. But then John 8 and 28, my goodness, it's the attitude of a son. I'm glad that he said, I always want to do that pleases my Father. Jesus said these words, it do us good to brand them in our heart. John 8 and 28. You know, there was this slogan going on that used so flippantly about what would Jesus do. Most people don't know what Jesus would do because they ain't read his Bible. They know what Grandpa said, but they don't know what this book said. One good thing about this church, I can preach anyhow. John 8 and verse number 28. The Bible said, then said Jesus unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, that shall you know that I am He. Then I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Thank God for that. For I do always those things that please him. The attitude of obedience. We ought to want to obey. Number two, not only the attitude of obedience, but note tonight, the action of obedience. Now the Bible said back in that text, in John chapter number 5 and verse number 6, watch this. He said, nevertheless, in thy word I'll let down the net. And when they had this done. Now he said, I will let down the net. Obedience requires action. God's done spoke to some of you. Now what you going to do with what he done give you? I wonder how many sermons has been poured out in this church. And God put something in you, but you didn't do nothing about it. There's a man texted me today, made me feel better. He said, Pastor, well, what you preached this morning, said it went home with me, and I had to go get right with one of my brothers. I like preaching goes home with you, don't you? I know some of you don't like it, but I like it. Actions of obedience, and when they had this done. You see tonight, Christian, let me tell you something. Listen, Jesus is not going to give you more light till you walk in the light He's done give you. He's not going to give you more than what He's done give you because you ain't done nothing about what He's done give you. He's still waiting on you to obey what He's given you. What He's asked you to do. Now, I want to say this in the actions of obedience. It requires the actions of faith. Now, did you notice what they done? They said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. He said, Lord, we done that. We've been at this a long time, Lord. Matter of fact, I'm the fisherman. You're the preacher. Leave the fishing to me and you do the preaching. Boy, He knows everything. But nevertheless, He said, at Thy word I will let down the net. Now, the actions of obedience. Now, sometimes we seem to have fear that there shall be no result. Now, a lot of times when the Lord is nudging us to do something and we need to be obedient, it requires the actions of faith. A lot of times you will not see why, you will not know why, but we have to move by faith. And so tonight, this actions of obedience, look in Hebrews 11 and verse number 1 this evening. Hebrews 11 and verse number 1 in the actions of faith. Now, faith is. I'm glad it don't say faith was. Faith is going to be, but faith is. I want to say faith is ready tonight. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, that's bigger than me. He said the faith is the evidence of things you can't see. Now, I'm glad it didn't stop. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Ain't no crazy Darwin teacher gonna try to trick me that this thing come of evolution and two monkeys jumped out of a bush and climbed up a tree and fell to the ground. Their tails got tangled up and something went booyah and all this happened. That didn't happen. Honey, God spoke this thing into existence. I believe in the boom theory. Honey, God said and it went boom for the glory of God. He said by faith we believe that He hung the world. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated. Verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. Now watch, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, watch, which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he went. God called him to go to something that God done set for him, but he had to obey Him by faith for he could ever get what God had set for him. I wonder how many churches tonight, they're going to go to glory and they've left so many storerooms of blessings and storerooms of glory. They've left it because they would not operate by faith. God's bidding you or asking you to do something, friend, and tonight you'll have to obey Him by faith. But you'll never get what God's got for you till you obey Him and go by faith. I remember some of you, God is knocking on your heart to leave your dead church. And you said, well, my goodness, Grandma and Grandpa was buried over there. And why, it's going to upset the family reunions. It's going to upset the family reunions if you serve God over yonder or over here. They going to talk about you whether you go to their church or our church. They going to talk about you if you drive a rattle trap or a new car. They going to talk about you anyhow. People just love to talk about somebody. Just turn around and say, just go on and get over it for the glory of God. My goodness, if I was applauded every time, I've heard more criticism than anything, honey. Oh, they couldn't believe when we left our little country church. But I wasn't getting what I needed. God had something set for me out yonder, Brother Tim, but I couldn't get to it till I obeyed the voice of God and moved by faith. Said, God, I don't understand it. Let me tell you, you ain't got to understand it. God, I can't see it. You ain't got to see it right now. I'm just glad that I've moved by faith for the glory of God. You leaving our church. Yeah, I'm tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired of nothing.
Yeah.
Somebody say amen right there. That's good preaching. If you think they're going to call on you at family reunion to pray because you've left the church, you're a fool, friend. Water's thicker than blood. Got it wrong. Blood's thicker than water. You know it, so. Some of you stay with me till I get on one of you young and sin. Oh, now, preacher, but! Oh, ain't no but about hunting goat butts. Well, it's your young and my young and right's right, wrong's wrong. Let's just preach and be happy and love Jesus and get our heart right with God tonight. Woo, hallelujah. OB, you'll never get what God's got for you, ma'am, till you move by faith. Sir, you'll never get what God's got for you till you move by faith. And so we see this thing, this action of obedience. Now watch this. By faith, he sojourned. That means to reside as a foreigner. You ain't supposed to fit in this outfit. Quit trying to drive tent stakes in a place God never intended you to put them, in the world. We got to make a living. But let me tell you something, honey. We ain't got to be in love with the world tonight. By faith, he sojourned the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac. Jacob bears with him the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Well, there's the actions of obedience. It requires actions of faith. And then number two, I believe it requires the actions of fear. Look what Noah did, verse 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. I want to say something right there a minute. There's a man said that somebody told him that, why, he ain't going to do something. Let me tell you what you better learn now. You better carry some Tabasco in your pocket if you don't like crow. Because you'll be eating it. Crow don't go down good. The bigger the more I chew it, the bigger it gets. But I want to say this tonight. We've lost the fear. Now listen, I'm not scared about God putting me in hell. I'm scared what screw God can turn to make me haul a calf rope. Now I want to tell you folks something that'll try to keep me at the foot of the cross is my family. If God's really wanting me to do something, what's it going to take to make me do it? Because He's given me the option. I can be obedient. I mean, this action of faith and this action of fear. We better reverend God tonight. And can I say something to you new Christians? My name's not Reverend. Amen. The Bible says holy and reverence His name. And I don't know what dummy come up with that.
Amen.
Probably the same fella brought voting in the church. May have been the same fella invented a necktie, amen. I fear God. I know what He can do. God can get a push broom. He can push me right up in the corner and put me there till my wonder gets fixed. And I done found out it's a lot easier to say, Lord, I'm going to move by faith and I don't understand. And God, I'll be honest with you, I'm scared about it. And God, I'm scared not to mind You. You know, there's been times in this ministry God laid on my heart to help a preacher and the money was low, but I was scared not to give it. There's times God told me to preach something. I done had everything ironed out, I mean to the T. I told Brother Mike tonight, I said, I felt like I was so scrambled on that mess. I wished I had an opportunity to preach that sermon again. I fear God. I'm afraid not to mind Him. Brother Jonathan was preaching Tuesday night. You remember how he got up like a circle saw it off, so he just quit. You know, I was looking around like, okay. He left me and he said, Brother Ken, God told me quit preaching. Well, you better mind Him. Because obedience is better than sacrifice. Now tonight, this thing of this unquestioned obedience, it's the attitude of obedience and it's the actions of obedience. But I want to give you this tonight, and I want to try to help you here, because there's been a lot of people hurt because they've never heard their pastor say what I'm fixing to say tonight. This action, Brother Tim, of obedience, there's actions of faith, there's actions of fear, but there's also, listen to me, there's actions of fact. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. It don't matter what anybody else thinks I ought to be doing. That don't matter. It's what He's telling me to do. Let me tell you what, honey, this blind faith will get you in trouble. I can't tell you how many young preachers said, I'm going to strike out being an evangelist. Good. Where are you going to preach? What you going to eat? Oh, God will take care of me. And He will. But it's a way about doing it. Watch this. Matthew chapter 14. Remember the storm got up? The boys in the ship. Jesus came walking to them on the sea. And my Bible hero said, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me to come to You on the water. And you know what He told him? Come. Ball's in your court now. Come. And the rest of them Baptists is sitting back there saying, oh, Lord, he's lost it. He's going overboard. Oh, Lord, Peter, you've lost it now. Man, they're sitting around talking. Somebody's saying, get the donuts and coffee. He's going down. Watch this. The Bible said he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You notice that when he went down, he didn't sink. The Lord reached and the Bible said, caught him. Now this is where I'm going tonight. The Lord didn't say one word to Peter on that transition. You know why? Listen. Because what He said back under was enough out yonder. If somebody would have told me, you would have made a good Ken Bowman, you'd make a good preacher. You're a good salesman. You got the right haircut. It don't matter what you think. I better know the God of glory done told me to come out there. Because when applause quits, you better know the voice of God told you to do what you're doing. Number two, before you sell out and give everything you've got away, you better know God told you to do what you are doing. I said under a man one time, he said, boy, just quit that job. It wasn't time to quit my job. Only I know that. Man, that church is up and running good. You just get you some faith and step out on God. Well, how come He ain't got a church? He ain't even got one to know how to pastor. How can He tell me how to pastor the one I got? That's so like some of y'all. Oh, I know what I'd do if I was a preacher. Would you? Would you really? Well, you ain't getting this, and we're wrestling them shavings over to each other on the flagpole. And I'll be just as saved when I got up as when I went down. I'll have to do some repentance. That's all right, ain't it? You're still preaching, ain't it? But you better know God's told you to do. You say, preacher, tell me something. How do I know it's God? You can't miss nobody big as God. He knows we're human. Let me tell you something tonight with doubt. You see this water line in this cup. Now it matters on how you look at that. And I've heard classes all about it, but I see right now it ain't full. That's all I can tell you. And whether you think it's real full, that's wonderful, I see it ain't full. A lot of you say, well, it's got a lot in there. I wish I had your attitude. I see it needs to be some more in there. And you watch this. If I feel like God's wanting me to do something, this much water table's left in my heart. Boy, when I start out and things go bad, things aren't going good, there's a whole lot of space left in that glass for doubt and discouragement. And what I'm saying tonight, you be sure your glass is full and running over before you say, God told me to do that. Because it's a lot of room in there to make the devil doubt what you're doing. I remember when God called me to preach, that thing run plumb out on the floor. I remember when God saved me, it run plumb out on the floor. There's no doubt. When God told me to quit my job, it was no doubt, honey. This thing was a gushing, overflowing. Somebody told me, said, preacher, I can tell you one thing. You ever quit your job, I'm going to tell everybody you heard from God. Well, they can, because I heard from Him. You better know it's the voice of God talking to you. I heard a man the other day, he got mad because he wasn't a deacon. I'm just tell you this. If you want to come to me at a service, I'll tell you who it is. I don't mind. He got mad at one of my preacher boys because he wouldn't ordain him as deacon. He got mad, Brother Troy, because God showed him to ordain a man. He didn't ordain him. He went to the pastor and he said, God showed me I was supposed to be a deacon. Well, he left his wife about Christmas and moved in with a little old bitty young gal. I wanted the same one told him he's supposed to be a deacon as the one told him to go shack up with that young gal. God, that's just too good to pass up. You better know what voice is talking to you. God's so big, you can't miss Him. Listen, God knows how frail we are. Brother Dennis read this morning, we're just grass. God knows that. It don't take rocket science to figure out if it's the voice of God. God will let you know if it's God. Boy, so many times the devil whispers, psh, psh, psh. The devil's told me to give this church up in years past. That wasn't God. You've got to be able to get in that book and say, it's what I'm hearing. Is it lining up with your word? Watch this. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. Thy word. See, when you've got a word, it don't matter if the woods is a burning up. You've got a word. When you know that your family's supposed to be in this church, you don't care what anybody else is saying. You're doing what God told you to do. When God's called you to preach and the phone ain't ringing, it don't matter. You know what God's told you to do. When God's told you to give your last $100 bill at Tuesday night revival. By the way, that's offering, not tithe. Somebody say amen right there. Now, don't shut down on me now. He said tithes and offerings. You're to pay your tithe to the local church that you're going and belong to. I send mine to that evangelist on TV. All right, then, call him to come marry you. Call him to come pull you out of the ditch. You ought to pay your tithe at the church. Somebody say amen right there. I don't like the way y'all spend money. Keep it. Keep it. God don't want your old stingy money. He loves a cheerful giver. Oh, Lord, I just... Lady, go and just bust him upside the ribs and say, give it. Go and bust him and say, give it. Y'all didn't take that good. Hey, men, elbow them, say, give it. Praise God. See, that's where the problem is. It's her. You little hen-pecked rascals. Somebody say amen right there. You buy you a $300 deer stand, you give God $10 a week. Actions of fact, let down your net. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. Look what he said. That leads me to the last point tonight. The advantages of obedience. Verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. Now, I like something in verse 4. I never seen it till tonight studying it. Pardon me a minute because I didn't run over it, but I want to show it to you. Look what he said in verse 4 of Luke 5 and 4. He told Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets. It's easy to coach somebody else. Oh, go on, put that money in there. Put yours in there. Ha! Get you an altar and pray. Where's your altar? Simon, your stuff. I'm talking to you. I ain't talking to nobody else. I ain't talking to the rest of them boys. I'm talking to you, Simon. Amen. Simon, I ain't talking to them. I'm talking to you. This is for you, Simon. This ain't for the preacher, Simon. This ain't for the deacons. This is for you. Let down your net. And so he said, nevertheless, Lord, I'm really doubting you. And Lord, it don't make sense, but I will let down the net. Now, watch what happens. The advantage of obedience. There was an instant return. Verse 6. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes in their net break. Can I ask you something? You folks have been with me a long time. You've done seen this truth, but you newcomers may have never seen it. I wonder how much they'd had if they'd really obeyed Him all the way. He told him let down his nets, plural. But the Bible said in verse 6, their net break. I wonder how many times we've let treasures and blessings leave because we didn't let enough down. Some of you ain't got it, but I preached it anyway. Now, there was an instant return. Can I tell you, we shall never be losers in obeying Jesus. Our faith will be surprised. How many times, that old writer said that, I like to shout it out. How many times has your faith been surprised? Lord, I know you told me all the time. Lord, I know you told me that it would happen. Lord, my faith is surprised. God told me He was going to build a church in Bowden, Georgia. The hardest, I've told you, the hardest thing I've ever done was put on that storefront glass windows down in our Liberty Baptist Church. I know the hecklers would come out of the woodwork. Lord, I knowed what You put in my heart. God, You told me to walk out of that plant. I knowed what You put in my heart. There was an instant return. He filled their net. Number two, there was incredible rewards. God rewards obedience. Do you know that? Some of you driving 40, 50 miles to get to this church. Does He reward obedience? I want to see, is it worth the drive? And I want to see your hands. Some of you young'uns has got to say, God saved you marriage. He saved you. Can you put a money amount on that? Some of you driving 3 miles, is it worth the drive? Thank you. That helps my feelings. About eight of you raised your hand. It was an instant return. It was an incredible reward. But I'm going to tell you something, honey, in verse number 7. Lord have mercy. It was an inspiring report. Look what they say. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Come get help. Come get what we got and get help. Why did... What? They beckoned their partners in the other ship. They should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. They didn't say come and get help. They said come get what we got and help us. Well, if every New Testament church tonight, Michelle, if you'd come, just want you to play. If every New Testament church could see that tonight, come help us and get what we got. You know when them missionaries come through here, you know the way they help Liberty Baptist Church is when they get your offering. There's 30% taken straight off of the treasure every Sunday goes into a missions account. And it goes for the honor and the glory of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I want to say this closing tonight. Last week, not many of you know about this, the week before revival, I've never experienced nothing like that. You asked any of our preacher boys that was there. Nearly 40 preachers there tonight. We had nearly a 4-hour prayer meeting. This church was a part of bringing preachers that could not afford to get there to come to that place and sit in a 2-night revival. And you would not believe what God done for the hearts of preachers. There's so many things that you don't know about tonight. But there's an inspiring report if you'll just mind God. Isn't the Lord good to us? A lot of you think it's funny. I said about God told me in Kentucky the other day to give away my navigation. Brother Adam, it's easy and God asked me something I don't really like. I'm going to tell you something. It'd be easy for me to give you this tie. I don't like it. It don't tie right. It don't lay right. I don't like it. But I've got a purple one. I was in revival. Man come up and he said, boy, that's a nice tie. God said, give it to him. I took my tie off. He said, preacher, I didn't mean that. I said, God did. You see, it's the little things that leads to bigger things. What you need tonight? You see, there's the attitude of obedience. Lord, I want to obey you. I want to be closer to you than I've ever been. There's the action of obedience. He let down his net. He said, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. Because I've heard your word. Lord, I'm going to do what you've told me to do. But then there's the advantages of obedience. Immediate return. That's how quick God can show you you've done right. And it may take a little longer. But you just mind Him tonight and you'll never go wrong. Christian, this altar's open.